In Luke chapter 22, starting verse 14, it says this, and you can turn there in your Bibles if you want, or church Bibles, page 746, if you want to follow along. Or you can choose just to listen this morning and just to envision this moment that Jesus is having with his disciples. It says, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. Many of us have seen that picture, right? Where Jesus and his disciples are sitting at the table. We can envision this. Jesus and his apostles are reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from this fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed. But woe to the man who betrays him. They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would betray him. This morning, as we're going to be in just a few minutes celebrating Jesus, his life and his death, and what that means to us as believers in Christ, the fact that his blood was shed on that cross, we're going to be celebrating that in just a few moments. But before we do that, there's a couple thoughts that I wanted to share with you this morning. The first thought is simply this, that communion and remembering go together. Communion and remembering go together. It goes back to verse number 19 that we just read, where it says, he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I think that it's fairly safe to say that most of us, we live in a world that is kind of a forgetful world. We forget things a lot. It's not because we're all suffering from some type of dementia, but it's because as soon as we wake up every morning, we are bombarded by thousands of things from the moment that we wake up to the time that our head hits the pillow at night. It's just constant. It's easy for us to forget what we're planning to do or what we should be doing through the course of the day because we're just bombarded by other things. Oftentimes, before our feet even hit the floor in the morning, it's possible for us to be able to read the news reports, the weather reports, the sports reports from all over the world. It's possible for us to scroll through pictures and posts from Instagram and Facebook. It's possible for us to listen to some music, log on to YouTube or Spotify. It's even possible for us to send and receive like numerous text messages and emails for work even before we've even gotten out from underneath the covers. By the time we get dressed and have a bit of time to eat, we've been hit from all different angles. I'm positive that you know people, because I know people who just spend like the majority of their day, right, glued to their screens, just waiting to see what pops up on Facebook or X next, just looking for the next pictures that are being posted to somebody's Snapchat or Instagram. And they forget about what they're supposed to actually be working on or doing that would be productive. And maybe it's not that you know somebody, maybe you're the somebody in the situation. I think here's a thought to pause on. Our morning lives and throughout the day, it's a battlefield for our hearts, our minds, and our souls. Our mornings can be a battlefield for our mind space and what it's going to consume for the rest of the day. How much time do we dedicate to social media, to news, to other things? How much time do we dedicate to housework, to office work, to taking care of those in our families and making a living? How much time do we dedicate to God's word, to prayer, and to our own spiritual maturing? All of those, I think, are usually answered by what season of life we might happen to be in. For some, the time has come to be able to really dedicate more time to developing their spiritual maturing. Well, for others, they're simply doing their best to just have a quiet minute or two with God throughout the course of the day. But what we can do, all of us, is we can find moments. We can lean into moments to reflect, to contemplate, to remember God's goodness and God's grace. Communion with God not only includes holding a wafer this morning and a small cup of juice, but communion should involve being one with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not just this morning as we come to the table, but every day as we live life. In the passage we read earlier, as well as in Paul's writings in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we are reminded that when Jesus shared communion with his disciples for the first time, one of the things that Jesus said that I think are really important words are, "Do this in remembrance of me." Forgetfulness is a human condition. Something in which we humans have a problem. But we see this played out in Scripture as well, this forgetfulness, right? Like we see it in the Old Testament. The people of God were forever forgetting how much the Lord God Almighty loved them and had rescued them and forgiven them and redeemed them. They were forever forgetting their covenant with the Lord and his ability to help them live abundant lives. They were forever forgetting that they were a chosen people who were to reflect God's glory and honor to the rest of the world in order that the entire world would turn and serve the only true and living God. The good God of creation, the Lord God Almighty. Communion reminds us of just how much God loves us. Does this sound familiar? God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that we might be rescued, right? So that we might be redeemed, so we might be restored into God's holy image. Communion reminds us of God's grace. Communion reminds us of being born again, and communion reminds us that we are able to live an abundant life here on earth. We need to remember that each time we take communion, we celebrate the reality of a new life that we have been given through Jesus Christ, which leads us into really our second thought for this morning. Communion and our identity go together. When we take communion, we are constantly proclaiming our identity in Christ. When we take the body, the bread, representation of the body, the cup, representation of the blood of Jesus, we are at that moment proclaiming whose we are and what we are. That we are Jesus's. That we are his followers and we are his disciples. And that is what we will do with our lives. We're proclaiming the full benefit we have in Christ. We're proclaiming that in Jesus Christ we are forgiven, we're redeemed, we're justified, we're born again, we're adopted. We're children of the Most High. We're citizens of heaven, Scripture tells us. All too often, I think people feel like we have to approach the communion table almost like with sadness or sorrow or guilt. They take Jesus' words like to remember in the wrong direction, I think. I don't think Jesus really wants us to focus on remembering who we were before we were born again. That person no longer exists. Instead, remember that our sins have been paid for in full. Your slate has been washed as clean as snow. Don't dwell on your old life. Your sins are gone. They are as far as the east is from the west. I believe the thing that Jesus wants us to remember is who we are today in Him. Jesus did not die on a cross and be raised again for us to live in a guilt-laden past. In Christ, we're justified, we're redeemed, we're forgiven, we're born again, we're adopted children of the Most High, we're citizens of heaven. If you want to focus on your identity, then focus on how God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit sees you right now today as one of His followers. Focus on how heaven sees you right here, right now. Focus on your new life in Christ. Focus on the fact that in Christ you are a new creation. This morning, I think we can join, if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I think we can join with the Apostle Paul and say to the whole world what he would say throughout his writings, right? That I am crucified with Christ. I am a follower of Christ. My mind is being renewed, and I am a masterpiece of God Most High. I have peace that passes all understanding. Those are the things God brought into Paul's life and it's brought into ours. I don't know if you've ever thought about like the first communion that took place, right? Have you ever thought about the people that were there? So we know that like Peter and Andrew and James and John and Philip, they were there. Judas was there. We know Simon was there, the others there. Every last one of them, from Peter to John to Judas, every last one of them, within just a matter of hours, betrayed Jesus. None of them went to the cross with him or volunteered to take his place. None of them led a revolt. None of them did anything to help Jesus escape. None of them did anything other than run away or watch from a distance. And Jesus knew all of that was going to happen. And he still broke bread with them at the table. Broke the bread of the new covenant and shared the wine of the new covenant with them. Even though Jesus knew they would fail, he reached out to them with the new covenant to forever remind them that what he was going to do had the ability to change them forever. No longer would they have to be sinners bound for hell, but through his body and through his blood, the way would be made for everybody who calls on Jesus to be saved. That's pretty amazing. That is God's amazing grace in our lives. This morning, as we come to the table in a few minutes, I encourage you, don't focus on the past so much for today, on the person that you used to be. Instead, focus on the person who you are today in Christ Jesus. The person you are today, right now, you're redeemed, approved, you're accepted, you're anointed. It's all because of Jesus, Jesus' sacrifice, Jesus' redemptive blood has changed our identities. The blood of Jesus changed all of human history. The blood of Jesus changed all of creation. Today, we no longer have to sacrifice a goat, a bull, or a sheep as a substitute offering. Jesus' blood covers every sin, from the first sin in the garden to the last sin that will take place on this earth. Jesus' blood has made a way for everybody to be redeemed. As we share in communion this morning, remember the Lord Jesus, what he did, his death, his resurrection, the new identity that Christ gave us, and that his presence can be, should be, very real in our lives. We're going to close our time together. The worship team wants to come up and get ready to lead us in. I speak the name of Jesus. We're going to close our service by taking communion together this morning. My hope, my prayer is that we take communion remembering Christ's sacrifice and his victory. And we take communion knowing who we are in Christ and rejoicing in our salvation in Christ. I hope and pray that we take communion knowing that by Jesus' stripes we are healed. That we take it knowing that our redemption, both now and forever, rests in Christ Jesus. We take it proclaiming Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. We take it celebrating the new life that he has given to each of us. As the worship team leads us in this song, I hope that you listen to the words of the song and that you're reminded of who Jesus is and what Jesus does before we come to the communion table this morning.